Hello and welcome to Take 411, a podcast powered by Another Chance to Bridge the Gap. This is a place where you can find latest news, information in relation to prison and anything happening in the community. Buckle in.
Hey, how y'all doing? It's Big Sir here on behalf of Another Chance Foundation. Super excited today to talk with you guys about prisoners, about how it's affecting our families. I have a special guest coming in today. Hoping he'll join us soon, Ray Davis. Met Ray during college years. Man, we had a blast together. Spent 4 years playing together at Harding University. This guy's done some awesome things for himself, but faced a lot of similar challenges as myself growing up, fatherless and things like that. So we want to give him the opportunity to share on that and talk about his story. Ray, you on?
Yes, sir. I'm here, man.
Awesome, man. How you doing?
I'm good. It's another day to be blessed. It's Friday.
That's what's up, man. It is Friday, that's for sure. Hey, just tell us a little bit about yourself, your story.
Well, for starters, we'll get started off. I'm from Texas. And then through life, I ended up graduating high school from Fayetteville. I'm a nursing home administrator in the state of Arkansas and Little Rock, as far as the city is to be concerned. I've been doing that for a little over 3.5 years now since college was over back in 17, and really enjoy it. I really enjoy making a difference, not only in my staff life, but in the residents' lives, and able to come in and change cultures for the better.
That's awesome. What got you into wanting to do that kind of work?
I feel like my purpose was to serve others, and I've always thought about, you know, how I could do that. Never in a million years would I would have thought about actually working in a nursing home. I just thought about healthcare in general was a good way to help and make a positive impact somehow, some way. After I graduated college, my major was in business administration with emphasis in healthcare. And after college, you know, I knew I needed a job, but I knew not too many companies would take a chance on a kid really with no experience at the time and things like that. So no matter what happens, it'll be a chance. It'll be for somebody to do it. And then once I got in and got the opportunity that I was blessed with, I just took it and ran with it. I felt like it was my purpose to serve, and I feel like this is where I'm supposed to be in life as far as serving others, doing really anything I can to help that arise, whether that's with employees or residents, family, things like that. But I feel like that's where I'm supposed to be, taking care of the tough situations and getting things fixed and corrected for the better.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Ray, tell us a little bit about growing up, the family situation you grew up in, any struggles or adversity you may have faced, any successes you may have faced growing up as well.
Growing up, I have two older brothers and two older sisters, and I'm the youngest of all four. So there's five of us total. I've seen how they live life. I had my oldest brother had an opportunity to go to college and play football and things like that. There was things, decisions that were made that he made that really caused him not to complete that. And so after that, he went on and went to jail. He was in prison for about 3 years, 2.5 years to 3 years, my oldest brother was. And then one of my sisters went to college, but she never completed it, just off of personal choices, nothing to do with jail or anything like that. Then my other two siblings, they didn't go to college. And so growing up, I've always, like, I saw them as role models because they were my older siblings. And, you know, I thought everything they did was cool. It's what I wanted to do. And so I've made a couple bad choices, you know, growing up because I wanted to fit in. I thought that was life. I thought that was the way to go. And then at the time, you know, I did have a dad and a mom in the household at the time until I was about in the fifth grade heading into sixth. And then, you know, things went wrong with my mom and dad. My dad ended up divorcing. There were some things in that marriage that really wasn't good. It wasn't healthy. And I feel like my mom, she's a strong woman now, took a stand and realized there was something she needed to do. So that divorce went on and went through, and it was final. So after when they started splitting up, when I was in the sixth grade, it was just me and my mom. My siblings and things like that, they were all out of the house doing whatever they were doing out there in life. It's me and my mom. My mom ended up working two jobs to make sure bills and things like that were paid. The only time I saw her twice a day. I saw her when we woke up that morning when she was dropping me off at school. Then I saw her when she picked me up for football practice, which would be about 5:30, 6 o'clock. And then that was the only two times I saw her, because she would go to work. And when she'd get off that job, she'd come pick me up, take me home, make sure I was good and straight. Then she'd go work her night job. And she did that for about 2 or 3 years, all the way till I was in the ninth grade. And so then when I got in the ninth grade, I was still in Texas. And then I've always called my grandparents and, like, just talked to them, see how things are going on with them. And I've always told my granddaddy I was going to move in with them. And he always thought I was joking. And then at the time when I bring it up, I was. I never thought about me actually moving and starting over fresh in a new state. So I called him one day and just told him, you know, I want to move in with y'all. And so he was like, let me call you back in about a day or so. Let me think about it. And I told him, okay. Called me back about 2 days later, and he said yes. Now, my grandparents, they've been burned a couple of times on letting people come live in with them. So he's very hesitant, things like that. And so he asked me why, and I just told him I want something different. I want change. I need something different. I want better for my future life, things like that. So he let me move in. I packed all my stuff up from Texas and moved to Fayetteville, Arkansas. And then from Fayetteville, Arkansas, headed into the school year, my sophomore year in high school. It was during the summer. It was July 13th. I remember the day like it was yesterday. I get a phone call. And through that time, let me backtrack. Through that time when my parents divorced, I didn't really talk to my dad much. There were some things. That relationship just fell, honestly. A part of me at that time growing up just thought he was in my life because of football. Like a lot of things, like, was just going through my head as a kid at that 13, 12 years old. You know, you don't know. Because I was a daddy's kid. I was a daddy's kid, you know, and thought highly of him. So I got a phone call from him, and I ain't heard from him. So his phone number wasn't even saved at that time. And so I got a phone call that said, hey, I'm turning myself in tomorrow. And a part of me, you know, when you get that phone call, you want to know, you know, what he did, why did he do it, how long he gonna be gone for. But then also part of me, I didn't care. Like, I didn't want to know. Yeah. I didn't want to know what happened. Just didn't care. And so all I asked him was for how long. And he said he doesn't know yet and things like that. And I was like, all right, you know, love you too. Then that was the end of that conversation. Hung up. I cried that night. It was on a Wednesday. Cried that night just because I thought that was it. You know, I didn't know how long he was going to be in there for. And then from that moment, it was like a hatred. Because I thought about all the times where I needed him from that time him and my mom got the divorce, where I needed him, where I thought I could depend on him, never kept his word, wasn't a man of his word, all that stuff. So I all that stuff just came back and built up. And so went years, the years that really I feel like develops a boy or a daughter. Daughters need their dads too. But as a man, like, I felt like I needed him. I needed him. For just first times, everything, first relationship, going on dates, how to handle situations, adversity in life, because those are your molding years that are shaping you into who you're going to be at the end of high school, headed into college, and so on and so forth. And I didn't have that. I was thankful that, you know, that my granddad was there, but there's only so much. He didn't have that. That wasn't his responsibility. Did he teach me things if I messed up? Yeah, but that wasn't his responsibility to be my father. And he let me know. He's like, I'm not your dad. And, like, he did a respectful things like that, and I was like, I know. So there's only so many things he can teach me as a grandfather, because you always want your dad to be there. You always think, like, hey, man, I want my daddy to show me, teach me, guide me, ride a bike, mow the yard, things like that, like stuff that'll teach you to be a man. And then when you get to those things in high school where you have, like, the father-son day, and you get into all the, like, you see all the kids on your team, you know, their dads out there, they playing all these games and stuff together, and you think, like, man, I wish, you know, my dad could be here. And you get the coaches that are on the team who'll be like, you know, I'll be your dad, we can do it together. But it's not the same, so all those events I didn't even go to. It was always on the weekend. I ain't go to them because I knew there was no purpose. But then it always reminds you, like when they have a T-shirt that say Father Sunday 2010, and you'd be like, dang, I wish I could experience that. Because you got your guys on your team that are talking about how fun they had. You see pictures and all that stuff. It just builds hatred. And it drives you a little bit because you realize, you know, I want something different. When I start having a family, when I start having kids, I want something different. I want to be there for my kids. I want to change what they thought about, and I want them to know that they can depend on me and rely on me no matter what happens in life. And I want to do things and create those memories. So when I get older and die, they have those memories to hang on to. All the memories I got are bad. And so it's just like for a long time I had a hatred. I finished high school, still had a hatred. Get to college, like my first day moving in, you know, cool, I wish my dad was there. I moved myself in. So it's just like it's just hatred. It's just all that stuff where you'd be like, man, and you see all your teammates that you're about to be friends with and get to know their stories. And it's like you see like some of their dads there helping them or their families in general just helping them move in, get settled. It's just first, it's memories you create. Man, went through that. I got a phone call the summer before senior year that said he was out, things like that. So now, you know, I'm a little happy. I'm like, oh, he out. He did his time. Still don't know what he did, and I don't care to this day that he did his time. It is what it is. And so get a phone call, and he's like, I'm coming to the first home game. So he came, that first home game, he came in. I was excited, saw him, his current wife now, saw her. My siblings came up, mom, stepdad came up. So that was cool, that moment, like it was cool. We finally got to see me play my last year of college, and it's the first game he saw, so it's cool. So I'm thinking I'll see more of him, you know, through it. And at that time when I saw him, I still didn't like him. Like I knew he's my dad, so I always give respect, but I still didn't like him. Just because of that time, that hatred I had where I needed him and he wasn't there.
Yeah.
And so went through all that, and he came to the game. He called me when they made it home back to Texas. He called me and said, hey, they made it home. You know, I was like, thank you for coming. Love you. And I ended that conversation. And then I really don't hear from him. Like he only calls me on my birthday. And then now here recently, he started calling me maybe once every month and a half or 2 months. But he's more so if I post a picture on social media or something, he'll comment on there. And I guess that counts as communication in his mind. But to me, that ain't how it counts. So for a while, I was still hating him, but I knew in order for me to be a better man, for me to be a better person just in the future, I have to forgive him as a part of me. I don't have to let anybody know that I forgave him. That's just something for me in order for me to take another step. And so I forgave him.
Awesome.
And opened it, opened the door back up, because I closed the door, honestly, for trying to build any relationship. And so I did a lot of praying and asked God to guide me, honestly. And it just took me a while, took God showing different signs. I was having, like, bad dreams that he died. And when that happened, like, that really hurt me, because I was thinking about, you know, all the hate that I had towards him and dislike. If he was to pass, I still would have that hate. And it'll be like, you know, I have to forgive him, because if I still had that hate, that was just going to haunt me for the rest of my life. So I had to forgive him, not for him, but for myself, just so, like, I know, like, hey, that chapter I closed. That's no longer, I don't feel it that way anymore. And then I can actually, like, mourn if something was to happen to him or things like that. I can mourn properly. So I forgave him.
Right.
Still to this day, I don't really talk to him outside the once a month and a half. That's about it. But the conversation probably lasts about 2 minutes. There's no really like strong father-son relationship. It's really like a convenient acquaintance, if you will. But at the end of the day, I respect him. He's still my dad and things like that. You only get one outside of God. You only get one. So I still respect him. I still love him, things like that. But it really drove me to be better, do better, whether that was my siblings and how the things they were doing, the things that I was going to get involved in if I would have never moved, like it just still drove me that I wanted something different. I wanted something different and I wanted something better. And I was going to do everything I can to make sure that happened.
That's awesome, man. We definitely appreciate you being open and honest with us and sharing that. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back with a few more questions for you.
All right.
Take 411 is powered by Another Chance to Bridge the Gap, which is an organization that has been around for almost a decade working to help bridge the gap between people in prison with family, friends, and people in the community. We need your help. There are so many different things going on in the world, and our goal is to continue to share information on a daily basis to make sure that people are aware and abreast of what's going on in the world so we can continue the mission and goal of bridging the gap between people in prison with family, friends, and people in the community. Please connect with us. Subscribe and make sure you have a membership, because together we can change lives.
Hey, welcome back. This is Big Sir with Another Chance, talking to Ray Davis, an awesome friend of mine who's had a lot of success in his life due to some circumstances he grew up in, and just been talking about his story and some of his relationship with his father. Ray, you know, as you were talking, it got me to thinking about, I don't even often think about not having someone to teach you how to ride a bike or the first date and or whatever and all this stuff that I guess a dad is supposed to do in your life. But you've achieved great success, and I just want to know, like, where do you accredit that to? Who played roles in your life to get you to the point where you are today? Because someone filled in that gap. So I just want to know, who was that for you?
It's a couple people, honestly. My uncle, his name is Lloyd. That man, he's always been that person I knew I could call. And he's more so like a uncle brother. He's just like that big brother uncle. We have a strong relationship. He lives in Nebraska. I go up and visit him. At least I try to do it once a year, if not twice. But he's always been that father figure. He has two little girls with his wife, and I've always seen how he interacts with his wife, how he cares for her, how he loves her. I see how he loves and cares for his daughters. And he has success in his life. And I've always seen that and be like, man, as a father and as a man, he's there. He's there. He's present. He's involved in his girl's life. He loves and cares for his wife. I think they've been married now about 15 years, I think. And I could be off. I could be adding a couple of years. But my uncle played a huge role in that. And then also I credit my coaches that I've had throughout football or sports in general. I credit my coaches huge. There was a coach in high school, specifically Coach White. He was my offensive line coach. I credit him. And one day he told me, he said, you know, Ray, I love you as my own son. And that, when you hear that from a coach or a man in general, because it took me a while to start trusting men. Like, I just had a problem trusting just due to broken promises and things like that. So it took me a while. But, like, to hear that, it just makes you want to do everything you can for them, whether I'm out there playing. At that point, I was playing for him. So it's like I want to make sure every play I do, I give it my best. And then when I get to college, I had Coach Chisholm, who was my offensive line coach in college, and he's always been a father figure since I stepped on the field or on that campus, whether that's life or football. And they've taught me a lot of things about life as a man, challenges that have come. Them three, my uncle, Coach White in high school, Coach Chisholm, and more importantly, God has played. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't even be here. We won't even get, like, down that road. But I credit that to God, a lot of praying. I have failed, you know, as a man, as a Christian, I failed. But, you know, to have people forgive you and love you as Christ loves the world is something different. And when you see Christ's love shown throughout just different relationships, not just you, but you see how they treat everybody the same. They're not treating anybody any differently. And it's the consistency. And that's all it is you see that and you'd be like, and all those men have families. And so you see how they interact and things like that. I'd never forget me and Coach White, we was playing wrestling at practice. And he ended up cutting his hand on my helmet. And then I took his hand and wiped it on his shirt. And his first response was, "Now, Ray, how in the world am I going to explain this to my wife?" And I just thought that was funny because I was like, "Oh, you're about to get in trouble when you get home." But it was like he said it with the biggest smile on his face. So that showed me right there that the love he had for his wife and things like that and how his home life is all consistent. The love he's showing players, all that is all consistent. It's all consistent. So I wanted that consistency. I wanted to see not just you're showing me, you know, how you're going to treat me, but you're also treating everybody else who's with me the exact same way. But you individualize it. Because we all have a different story. We all grew up differently. There were some teammates I had that had it. Their household was fine. And so it's like, but you still treat everybody the same. And that's what I like. You didn't treat anybody differently, but we all still had that individual relationship and that personal relationship with each other. So them three men, and God, of course, is the leader of all of them.
Yeah. Man, I look back on some of the guys that played huge roles, some of the men that played huge roles in my life. And it really drove me to honestly doing what I'm doing because I did feel obligated to give back what was given to me. And, of course, you do that same kind of servanthood in the work that you do. I just wanted to see if there was any other fields that – I know you did some volunteer work with us in college, and then you even worked with Timothy Hill a little bit, the company I work with now. And so – man, just tell us a little bit about that. Where does your passion come for that? And where did that drive to serve young men or young women come for with you?
One of my goals in life as far as personal is to provide a life that I didn't have. Is to provide and take care of my family, my kids that I didn't have. And along those lines of when I get to that point and I start having family and I'm taking care of my kids and my wife and things like that. And when people think taken care of always have to do with something financially, which granted, you know, bills got to be paid, lights got to be on, things like that, like the necessities that you need. But when I say taken care of, I mean spiritually, mentally, physically, and financially. Like, it has to be all of them. I have to be able to provide for all of them because, I mean, they don't just need money to go buy food or for groceries in the house. They need more than that. They need time. And that's one thing that you can't get back is time. So they need that investment. And so a thing that drove me was when I went up to Timothy Hill for the first time, when I went up there to New York, it was my first time ever flying. There was things in life that, like, I was experiencing for the first time in college. So it's my first time flying and first time really going I've been out of states, but it was always like the states where I had family, things like that. So that was my first time like really just out there traveling, experiencing things. So we get to New York and man, I never forget one of the things that me and one of the teams, we broke up the different teams. We was doing a remodel of a house. I ain't never did that. I ain't know what in the world I was doing. But I did it, and I did it with a smile on my face. And through all of that, you meet the guys at the ranch, and you hear their stories. And you think about, like, man, you know, there's a lot of people out there that has it worse. I mean, that have it bad. And so you want to, like, encourage them in the best you can because you've only got a week. So you want to encourage them as best you can and drive them and let them see, like, there's another way to life outside the life they was living or given. There's another way. They can change. And it's just about wanting to and having the will to and wanting something different.
Yeah, that's for sure, man. We definitely appreciate you being on. We're getting ready to wrap up here shortly. The last thing I want to ask you, and you can be brief, it's what's your message to another young man that's growing up maybe in a bad neighborhood or a young woman as well or anybody growing up in a negative environment? Doesn't seem like they have a lot of resources. We're in a tough time in the world today. A lot of different divisions going on, the pandemic, the financial stuff. A lot of people are depressed or down or probably don't see a lot of hope in their future. Like, what do you say specifically to our youth? Because we really need to help them and guide them to get success, even from our adversity that we face. And so what do you say to those kids, those family members, those prisoners who may feel the same way?
set a goal and climb the mountain to get there. But one of the things I've always enjoyed was, or a phrase I like, is enjoy the journey. The journey that you're living now is not, doesn't have to be the end result. You have a goal that you're trying to get to. Climb that mountain. It's going to take you everywhere. There's going to be bumps and bruises. But just because there's bumps and bruises doesn't mean that that goal is not reachable. Doesn't mean it's not attainable. Yeah. Fight through it and go through it. The life that you're living now is not the end of the world. And more importantly, you have to have God in that plan. You can't do everything on your own. You have to be able to depend and pray and your faith. It'll get stronger in the journey. You and God, you should have an awesome relationship with Him. And sometimes that'll struggle because you'll feel like, why me? Why this? Why that? But instead of doing that, you should just say, try me, and just keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up. Easy things that you could do is give up. And then also for the guys who, for with fathers or things or mothers in prison, it goes into, they made that decision and they're serving that time. They're learning from their mistake. Forgive. You won't ever forget it, but forgive it and move on. It's not going to do anything but hold you down. Forgive it, move on, and keep it moving. Focus on your goal and enjoy and embrace the journey that it takes you on to get to that goal.
Yeah. Man, that's awesome, man. We appreciate you being on, sharing that, being vulnerable with us all here. It's so many success stories. I mean, as we know that for every success story, there's probably so many more multiple negative stories out there. But I like to highlight those guys that have done successful things in the midst of adversity that they face. Guys, we have a different perspective of struggles. For those of us who have faced tons of adversity and came out on the other side, the perspective is, I'm going to use this to make me better. And your adversity will either build you or break you, and you got to figure out how you're going to get through some of these challenges. Many people grow up fatherless. Many people grow up motherless. Many kids in the foster system, all kind of stuff. Guys in prison, girls in prison, all kind of stuff. There's adversity for us all. But you got to figure out, when you look at it, am I going to allow this to break me or build me? Where am I going with this? Where is this journey going to take me? And like Ray said, enjoy it. Enjoy it to the best of your abilities. And sometimes it's going to be really hard to do. It's going to be really hard to do. But if your focus is on success, if your focus is on the end goal, and that's your mindset, then whatever I got to do to get to that point, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to enjoy it because I know that the fruit is at the end. All right? So we really appreciate you guys being on today. This is Deontay, a.k.a. Big Sir, on behalf of Another Chance Foundation. Y'all be blessed.
We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones to make a brighter day. So let's not give in.
For tuning in and listening to Take 411. To stay connected with us, please subscribe in the link below to our website, add your email address, and get all types of updates and information about what happens in the world every single day. Until the next time, remember, together we can.